This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. Each week when we gather for our service of Holy Communion, it's always a special celebration. We read scriptures, we hear holy proclamation of the word, we break bread and drink wine together, and we celebrate Jesus. This weekend, though, is a very special weekend in the life of our church for a couple of reasons. One is that last night we baptized 4 new Christians into our family, and I'd like for the 4 of them, if they would, to stand up, and that is Dylan and Tyler and Maya and Kenny. There they are. 3 of them, and where is the 4th one? Welcome! Yay! And this morning, as you might have gathered if you didn't know already, we have the celebration of our Communion Milestones class. They have been working very hard with Father William and Mrs. Williams, and everything has culminated in this moment. So if you are a member of that class, one of the 25, I believe it was, Father William, please stand up and raise your hand so we can see you and give you a round of applause. Yay! Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. You may be seated. And thank you for all your hard work and all of your dedication. Now, if you weren't aware of it, you might have noticed that we don't call it First Communion in this church. We call it Communion Milestones because we permit children to take communion after baptism from the time they are tiny, if that's what the family wishes. Some wish to wait until today to have their First Communion, but we look upon this table as God's table. And about the age of 6 or 7, and then beyond that, if they haven't learned about Holy Communion, at the age of 6 or 7, we believe that they have coming into the age of reason so that they can start, and I emphasize the word start, just begin to understand this mystery of Holy Communion. Because I don't know about you, but this is a mystery that I still don't fully understand. And one that we explore and go deeper and deeper with throughout our whole lives. Throughout our whole lives. In these 2 sacraments, these are the 2 that Jesus told us to do. To go out and baptize and to take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. Drink this wine in remembrance of me. You'll hear that today and every time we do Holy Communion. They are 2 what we call sacraments, as most of you probably learned in your classes, right? And so, does anybody know in the class, what is the outward and visible sign? What is the sign of Holy Communion? What do we use for Holy Communion? The 2 things, uh-huh? What did she say? The chalice holds the wine, so it's wine, and then... Did he say bread? The bread, yes. And last night they baked the bread that we will be having for Holy Communion today. So that bread and wine is the outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace given to us by God. In baptism, what is the outward and visible sign? What do we use when we baptize? Water. So water is that outward and visible sign. And this is the definition of a sacrament, an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And it connects what we can see with what we can't see. And what we can't see in those sacraments, but we believe in faith, is that we are deeply, deeply loved by God, and that Christ is with us and within us all the time. And we are not alone. For 2,000 years, people have been baptized, maybe not 2,000, what would it be? 1970, because around the time Jesus began, in a Christian way, baptism began that long ago. So people have been baptized since then and have taken Holy Communion since then. And we are sharing this bread and this wine this morning with people throughout the world. Millions of people are doing the same thing today, and we are united as one body in Christ around the world. The prayer that you heard today in the gospel is called the Unity Prayer, that we all may be one. All may be one. Imagine with me now that you lived back when Jesus lived and that you were one of his followers, that you really knew him. In fact, you were a friend of his. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? You saw him heal people. You saw him work miracles. You heard the amazing stories that he told. And you had left everything. You were just an ordinary person. Maybe you were a fisherman, maybe a tax collector, maybe a homemaker. And you followed him. Yes, there were women too. And they followed him. And imagine that you might have been one of those people following him everywhere. And imagine that one day you got wind of these people being so afraid of him that they crucified him. They crucified him for no other reason but that he loved so much and was so radical, and they got jealous. And then you heard on the third day through your grief that he rose from the dead, but you didn't believe it. Until then, he came right through the walls and appeared to not only you, but hundreds of other people, until that day that he ascended into heaven. We celebrated that last Thursday, on Ascension Day. But he told you to wait for the Holy Spirit, that you would not be alone in this world. He would be with you always, even though you couldn't see him. He'd be with you always, but to wait, because the Holy Spirit would be coming. So imagine that I am one of the women waiting with you. And it's back that long ago, over 2,000 years ago. And by some trick of zapping it from the future, I have a pair of glasses. They didn't have glasses back then, I'm sure. At least I don't think they did. So I am one of the people that are waiting with you. And we're tired of waiting. We've been waiting and waiting. And I'm also one of the few people who can read and write, especially as a woman. And so I felt that I needed to get my thoughts down on paper about what was going on and about what had transpired throughout this time that I had spent with Jesus. And so I'd like to share it with all of you who feel just as strongly about this as I do, because you're waiting too. I call it a prayer letter. Dear Jesus, it's really hard to wait. Hard to wait, but here we are, your friends and followers, your precious mother Mary and your brothers. We're all here just waiting. It's so sad about Judas, but now we have Matthias, so we have 12 apostles again. We're all here waiting because we finally get it, Lord. We know we can trust you. I know it wasn't always that way. When we first met you, except for your mom and your brothers, we were just ordinary people going about our everyday lives, like fishing, homemaking, and tax collecting. You called us to follow you, and there was just something about you that pulled us in. Something so peaceful and true. And you were so radical and exciting, too. We dropped everything and followed you everywhere. We left our families and our homes, our jobs and our friends. We watched you heal the sick, and you told us to do likewise. We listened and learned from your wonderful storytelling, and then when the politicians got jealous, we became fearful, except for your mom and a few of the women, fearful because they wanted you gone, and they had an army. We were afraid, too. They were jealous because you started to have such a huge following and you broke their rules, like healing and finding food for us on the Sabbath. They said that was against the rules, but you knew better. Yeah, we pretended not to know you when the real heat came down. We were hiding in that crowd when they put you on trial, and they gave you the death penalty for no reason except loving so much. I guess we were afraid they'd do the same to us, and so we denied you, hid out until the crowds went away. But then you died on that cross. You died, and we were so sad. Some of us got together to comfort each other. Some of us just went back to work. Nothing was the same. We didn't remember that you'd told us you would die and then come back to life on the third day. Even though you told us more than once, we weren't paying attention. And if any of us did remember, we doubted you. And then on the morning of the third day, when a few of us went to the tomb, the stone was gone, and so were you. And Mary Magdalene saw you in the garden and came running and told us you were alive. And then you appeared to us. Why hadn't we believed you? You walked right through the walls to get to us, and you weren't even mad. You just told us, "Peace be with you." And you didn't just appear to us, you appeared to hundreds of other people, and so many believed then. And then you started to tell us goodbye. You spent so much time with us and told us that you would have to leave us, but not to worry, because the Holy Spirit would come. You told us to stay together and wait, and that when the Holy Spirit comes, the power of the Holy Spirit will work within us and for us and among us. You said that once you were gone, it would be up to us to carry on, not just to look for mission, but to be the mission of God in action, to heal and feed the hungry, to free the oppressed, to comfort the lonely, the poor, to speak the truth to power in the name of love. While you were talking to us, you blessed us. And then just like that, there was this cloud and you were lifted out of our sight and taken up into heaven. Can you imagine such a thing? We didn't know what to think. But you know, I have been thinking. You gave us this prayer to pray with those words in it, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So maybe heaven is and will be right here on earth. You told us you'd be with us always, so that means you're here now. We just don't have the eyes to see you yet. So, yeah, we're waiting all right, and it's amazing, but we feel safe because that prayer you prayed just before you left us, you asked God to protect us from the evil one, and we feel protected. You told God you made yourself sanctified, holy, so that we too would be holy. Imagine. And you know what else I was thinking? I love it, Lord, that I can just pray to you like this, that it's just a conversation between us, so personal and safe. I can only imagine how it will feel for the people in generations to come, even thousands of years from now, like in the year 2012. They'll really know about you and the Holy Spirit, maybe even read this letter and the other ones that have begun to circulate. I wonder if they'll get it or ever doubt you like we did. I pray that they'll hear the prayers you prayed as being not only for us, but for them too. How you want us to have your joy, to know your love in this world, healing fear, anxiety, illness, depression, resentment, hopelessness. They'd have to get it by then, right? They'll be living the way you taught us to live, loving and caring for one another. How blessed they will be to live that way. I'll bet it's going to be such a beautiful heaven on earth world by then. It's still hard to wait, Lord. We know you said you were with us always, and we do believe you. It's just that we miss you with skin on. Give us your faith, Lord, and we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." Thank you, Jesus. love me. Amen.